Hello, welcome to the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast. I'm Rob Burris. This month, why a good sense of humour is sometimes attractive and sometimes not so much. How fruit consumption affects appearance and why high heels elevate attractiveness. This is the December edition of the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast from oraclelab.co.uk. So, Christmas is over, New Year's Eve is receding into the distance, and we're all back at work for another year. If we ever needed cheering up, now would be the time. Fortunately, December saw the publication of a few really interesting experiments about the psychology of attraction, and one in particular is bound to bring a smile to your face. Mary Cowan, a PhD student at Stirling University under my old postgraduate advisor Tony Little, researches humour, and this month the results of her most recent study appeared in the journal Personality and Individual Differences. Cowan has recognised that humour seems to be really important in human social interactions, and particularly when we establish social bonds, including the bonds between relationship partners. Some researchers have suggested that we look for a GSOH in a partner because a lightning wit is evidence of an ability to think quickly and may also advertise good social and language skills, things that we find particularly appealing in a partner. In fact, we know from studies of dating websites that men tend to offer a good sense of humour while women tend to seek it. But do women always want a man with a well-developed funny bone, or is a laugh-a-minute guy something women occasionally find a turn-off? 20 men and 20 women reported to Cowan's lab, and she had them stand in front of a video camera. Next, she posed a bizarre question. If these men and women were to be shipwrecked on a desert island and were given the option of taking with them some chocolate, a bottle of hairspray, or a plastic shopping bag, which would they take and why? Some people answered earnestly, but many gave spontaneously humorous responses. Next, Cowan showed these videos to another group of men and women, who rated them for funniness on a 7-point scale. And then she stripped out the video, leaving only the sound, and had people rate the amusingness of the audio track only. Finally, she split the men and women who appeared in the videos into attractive and less attractive groups based on ratings of their facial photographs. Cowan found that videos of physically attractive men and women were rated as funnier than videos of less attractive people. So maybe more beautiful people are also more witty. Some people get all the breaks. Or maybe they don't, because when participants rated the audio clips, without the benefit of being able to see the jokers, the results flipped. When the raters couldn't see the video and could only hear the men and women's voices, less physically attractive people were thought to be funnier. What seems to be happening is that attractive people tell poorer jokes, but we perceive them to be funnier because we find the person attractive. Comedians often claim that a bad joke can be made funny by the way it's told, but Cowan has shown that it's not how a joke is told that's so important. It's who tells it and how good-looking they are. This isn't very good news for those of us who aren't blessed with supermodel beauty. If we're less physically attractive, our jokes will actually seem less funny. In a second analysis of her data, Cowan looked to see if men and women perceived as funny were more attractive for long or short-term relationships. She found that both men and women prefer funny partners, but that women find a GSOH more appealing in a potential short-term partner. Perhaps this is because when women are looking for someone to marry, they value different traits like ambition, wealth, and an ability to commit. Characteristics that may not be compatible with a propensity to clown around. So, if you're a man looking for a long-term partner, keep the fart gags under wraps, or the joke is very likely to be on you. Now that the holiday party season is over, many women will be gratefully tossing their high-heeled shoes to the back of the wardrobe and nursing their blistered feet and sore legs. Shoes with high heels are simply more uncomfortable than flats, or at least that's what I've heard from my female friends. But given that, why do women wear them? As someone who's more likely to be seen galumphing around in comfy basketball trainers than high heels, I find it hard to see why anyone would want to cram their toes into a tiny point and prop their heels up on an 8-inch stiletto. But fashion isn't about being comfortable, it's about looking good, and looking good usually means looking attractive. So, do high-heeled shoes really make a woman appear more attractive? You may have heard people claim that a high heel improves the shape of your lower leg or enhances your posture, but these claims aren't always that scientific. Paul Morris and his colleagues in the departments of psychology and sports and exercise science at the University of Portsmouth in the UK decided to apply a little more scientific rigour. They had 12 women who wore heels regularly but not exclusively slip into a pair of 6-inch heels or a pair of flats and take a stroll on a treadmill. Meanwhile, their walking style was recorded using an 8-camera motion analysis system, similar to the setup Peter Jackson uses to capture actor Andy Serkis's performance in the Lord of the Rings movies. Here, though, Morris didn't use the motion data to create a lifelike animated character like Gollum, but something rather simpler, a so-called point light display. That's a type of video where you can't see the person who's being recorded, but you can see how they move, thanks to a number of dots, also known as point lights, placed at strategic locations on the body, usually joints like the hips, knees, and ankles. 30-second clips of these point light videos were shown to 15 men and 15 women, who rated them for attractiveness. Despite the fact that the raters could only see how the walkers moved and had no idea about their physical appearance apart from that, they thought that women in high heels were more attractive than those in flats. In fact, women in flats were rated as 12% less attractive than women in heels, just from the way they walked. Morris and his colleagues also performed a complicated gait analysis, the sort of thing Olympic athletes are subjected to in order to measure the efficiency with which they move. He found that high-heeled shoes produced a walking pattern that combines reduced knee bending with shorter stride length and greater hip rotation, all of which are more typical of a female than a male walking style. In other words, high heels might add to the biological differences between men and women, making women walk like especially feminine females. This, in turn, might make them more attractive. So, despite the fact that wearing high heels can result in chronic pain, it looks like 6-inch heels are here to stay. But when you're out enjoying the January sales, remember to stock up on blister plasters too. We've all overindulged this Christmas. Well, I say overindulged. As far as I'm concerned, reheated turkey for breakfast, lunch and dinner, washed down with a pint of brandy butter, is perfectly normal at this time of year. But it's the sort of behaviour that's likely to leave you hankering after a slightly healthier regime come January. Good news then that research published this month in the journal Evolutionary Psychology has linked healthy eating with an attractive appearance. Ross Whitehead of the University of St Andrews in Scotland points out that the effects of eating fruit on the attractiveness of skin colour beat out the effects of a trip to the tanning salon for several important reasons. It's all to do with carotenoids, a pigment that gives ripe fruit its appealing red-yellow colour. Carotenoids are also found across the animal kingdom. The red belly of a male stickleback, the red breast of a European robin, and the yellow plumage of a great tit are all caused by carotenoids. It's also no coincidence that these patches of colour are vital for attracting mates. It's only the reddest stickleback or the yellowest great tit who manages to find themselves a partner. But a question that's puzzled naturalists as far back as Charles Darwin is, why is a brighter, more vivid appearance necessarily also considered more attractive? Again, it's all to do with carotenoids, because this all-important pigment has a second central role in animal physiology. As well as providing colour, carotenoids act as an antioxidant, deployed by an animal's immune system to defend against damage to its cells caused by a dodgy environment. And when carotenoids are used as antioxidants, that's it. They're gone. They can't be used to boost the colour of skin or plumage because they've been used up in the immune system. This means that an animal in good condition, who doesn't have many parasites and isn't ill, doesn't need to use its carotenoids up in cellular defence and can instead spend them on a brighter, more vivid appearance, thereby advertising its healthiness to potential mates. Those potential mates consequently prefer redder, yellower partners because they can be sure they're healthy. Now, we humans might not have patches of colour on our breasts or faces like so many birds do, but we do use carotenoids in a similar but more subtle way. Carotenoids make their way into our skin through our diet and give us a healthy yellowish glow. In fact, research has shown that people of all ethnicities prefer the appearance of faces that exhibit the yellowing effects of carotenoids, above and beyond the effects of another pigment, melanin, which is the chemical that gives our skin a browner tint and is symptomatic of tanning. Whitehead pushed the boundaries of this earlier research further by investigating directly the effects of eating carotenoid-rich fruits and vegetables on appearance and attractiveness. He had people eat different amounts of fruit and took measurements of the changes in their skin colour. Then he mathematically applied those changes to a set of new control faces and had a group of research students adjust the colour of these images until they appeared as healthy as possible. His results showed that the most attractive face colour was equivalent to the colour we'd see if a person consumed 7.75 portions of fruit and veg per day. Whitehead argues that findings such as these could help to shape dietary intervention strategies. Initiatives such as the 5-a-day campaign have helped to persuade people to eat more fruit, but many of us ignored the message that fruit improves our health. It turns out that people don't care that much about the condition of their digestive tract, at least not enough to make them eat a banana. But almost all of us care about how we look. If people can be persuaded that by chowing down on a few extra portions of rabbit food, they can boost their beauty, we might start to see apples and oranges flying off the supermarket shelves. At least until next Christmas, when the closest I'll come to fruit is a spoonful of cranberry sauce. On a mountain of turkey. Man, I already missed the turkey and it's only been a week. Pathetic. That's all for this episode. If you'd like to find out more about the research featured in today's show, head over to www.oraclelab.co.uk and click on podcasts. You can also keep up with new research throughout the month by following Oracle Lab on Twitter. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast. Happy New Year. I'm Rob Burris.